The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's 94.3 The Shark, online at 94.3theshark.com. It's Rob Rush, and over the past couple of months, you've heard us play this artist, A'Ron Jones, and I've likened him to the Black Crowes, Lenny Kravitz, Jimi Hendrix, anything that has that grit Southern rock kind of sound to it, plus alternative rock mixed in, and it's all for good because he does hail from Seattle, so if you get that gritty grunge sound, he comes from the land where it happens, as well as the land of Jimi Hendrix, one of his influences. So on the line with me is A'Ron Jones, and there was a little confusion in the beginning because some people weren't sure, is it pronounced Aaron? You know, were you doing a fancy spelling of Aaron? Like some people do a fancy spelling of Christine or Sean, but it's A'Ron Jones. So welcome, my friend.
It is A'Ron, man. Yeah, you can thank my mom. She's very creative in that way. But yeah, man, it's good to be with you, Rob. It's good to be with the people out there in Long Island today, man.
It's nice to have you. And like I said, man, you draw a lot of comparisons to Lenny Kravitz and Jimi Hendrix. I hear a lot of Black Crowes in there as well. And being that you're from Seattle, how big of a guy was somebody like Jimi Hendrix to you, as well as that entire, grunge scene that just exploded about 30 years ago?
Yeah, man. Well, I was coming up right in the heart of the grunge scene, and during the time grunge was huge. So I think that was the most immediate influence. And then Jimi Hendrix was something that I kind of learned more about in time, simply because, that was just a little bit before my time. And, but growing up in the same neighborhood as Jimi Hendrix, I mean, that kind of was just, if you're going to jump into the fire and learn about, this legend, the guitar player and this person from your community, and that was the place to be, man. So growing up in the Central District, being from the same neighborhood as Jimi Hendrix, brought a lot of education as to who he was and what he was doing, but also as well as the influence into my sound.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and you could tell that, it's not a clone, but there's definitely hints of it. And, there's not a lot of stuff out there about you. You're almost like a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside of an enigma. I know that you did have a band called A'Ron Jones and the Way, I believe, right? Was that about 5-6 years ago? I know you guys did some stuff. Well, the band, I should say, went out on the road with the likes of Lamb of God and Slipknot. But tell everybody that's listening here on the island just who A'Ron Jones is.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm this kid from Seattle. I mean, that's how I epitomize it. My nickname is The Kid because I grew up here. And when I first started being able to play music at 21 in the bars and the clubs and stuff, I did it. And I was always the youngest kid in the bar trying to pick up whatever I could to be great. And, and I started my own company, started my own label, and dropped some independent records in 2013 and again in 2017. And by the time 2020 came around, 2020 came around, I got signed to Big Machine Records. But before that, yeah, I had a pretty great indie career, man. I did. I opened for artists such as Guns N' Roses. We opened up for Lamb of God and Slipknot. Got a chance to play with B.B. King and also Jeff Beck, and then artists, even Crystal Method, a lot of different cats, different genres across the board. And then here I am today. So, I've been a self-made man up at this point, and now it's my opportunity to really to get my word out and my message and my music out to the masses.
You see so many people that, had independent careers before they got signed to major labels. And, maybe if you are really into the music scene, you would notice certain band or certain producer names, I should say. Like if somebody said, Bob Rock or Tom Werman, these guys were rock producers. I don't know if people realize, but Sir Mix-a-Lot actually produced one of your records. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah, he produced my my first indie record called Dream back in 2013, and we dropped. That's kind of what set things the motion for where we are now, because it really blew up here in the Pacific Northwest region. We got to tour off of that, ended up on some pretty big big shows. I mean, I got to, that's part of why I got to open up for some of these really big acts, you know. But he was a mentor, a friend, and a big brother to me when I was just first getting started in the music industry.
And he's from Seattle too, isn't he?
Yep, born and raised, same neighborhood, man. So me, Jimi Hendrix, and Sir Mix-a-Lot all come from the same neighborhood.
Man, imagine if Jimmy was still alive. What a super group that could have been, right?
Absolutely. That'd be crazy, man.
They could call it Super Jones Hendrix or something like that.
I like it, man. I'm going to write that one down.
You should write that one down. Just give me 5%. That's all I ask.
As long as you're in the room, you know how it goes, man.
Is that how it goes? Yeah, I mean, you're making all these moves, right? This is an interesting thing, actually, because, you know, there's been, you know, Gene Simmons and even a few other guys that have been in the game for a long time have come out over the last 3-4 years. And, you know, Gene Simmons specifically, you know, rock is dead. I think rock is dead. You know, everybody's saying rock is dead. Rock is dead. So you got bands like Greta Van Fleet that are coming out. The Struts were out. You know, all these newer bands. You are on the scene. You're doing your independent thing. You have a few of your independent records out. You're on tour with your band. 2020 happens. You sign with Big Machine at your first major label signing, and then the world completely shuts down. So as an artist that's been, you know, up and coming, and now here you are, get that big record label signing. Take me through that process, that thought process. Like, were you like bugging out, or what were you feeling like exactly a year ago at this time?
Relief, to be honest. Relief is what I felt like. I was also very excited to have signed a major deal, but it was more relief than anything else. You know, my indie career was paying the bills for me, man. I mean, I wasn't living lavishly. I wasn't like I was in a big house and a mansion or anything, but I had a pretty decent life before that. But I knew if I wanted to go bigger, I had to make the leap. And so from 2017 to 2020, you know, that was really me getting ready to jump over the majors. And that meant I had to pull myself from the work I was doing. And so that was tough, man. I mean, those are probably some of the toughest years I've had as an artist, where we didn't have any music out. Everything had been pulled down because we're getting ready to remaster, you know, re-record and reproduce some of the stuff. And, you know, so there wasn't any touring going on. I was trying to pick whatever I could. And it was like one of those moments, you know, artists talk about this where they go, well, you know, they don't know if they're going to quit or not. And that thought crossed my mind a few times, whether I should just be doing this or not. But, you know, I kept the faith, and I got a great team over at my management team, and we kept it pushing. And finally, we got to a point where I got a chance to reproduce some of the stuff I'd had, and it garnered the attention of the label. And they came out to Seattle and loved what they heard. And then by the time, you know, May of 2020 came around, they signed me. So it was a big relief, and it was also, you know, a lot of excitement, because for the first time, you know, I was really going to get to showcase my abilities and what I've been doing as an independent artist for the last, you know, almost 10 years to that point, to the massive audience, man. So it was a mix of emotions for sure.
But weren't you like concerned? Like, you know, it's May, you say May 2020, and here in the States, we're right in the middle of the beginning stages of this pandemic. Were you concerned, like, is this my shot and now it's not going to happen because the world is shut down? Or was there like, you know, back room, like we were talking about, if you're in the room, this is what we're talking about. But was it said, hey, look, we know that stuff is going on, but when things kind of get back to normal, you're a priority to us?
Right. No, I was never worried about that. No, I didn't feel that way. Because at the label, you know, even though I'm signed to a major label, it still runs as an indie label, you know, and in that, you know, they definitely put priority on their artists. So I never really felt like it was going to be a pause or anything like that. In fact, I was excited that I was going to get my stuff on the radio for the first time, you know. So things have continued to flow, man. And for me, it kind of felt like making the cut, you know. I mean, like, had I not signed, actually, or had a record that I was working on or music I was putting out, I actually don't know where I'd be right now. Because, you know, if I had still been in the same place where I was in 2018 and 2019, I don't know if I would have made it, you know what I mean? So for me, it was just like I felt like I had just made the cut, and even though everything was all shut down and we couldn't tour anymore, which was a bummer because like my bread and butter has always been my live show. I knew that I was going to be still in a good place to be able to have some music out and to at least, you know, make the leap into the next year and be okay until things opened up. So that was kind of how I felt when that was all going down.
Tell me about the two songs that, you know, Take Me Away, which is the first track that came out. What was the inspiration behind that one? Because that's got that gritty kind of set. As soon as you hear it, you're like, this sounds a little different than what I'm used to, you know?
Yeah, man. What Take Me Away was, you know, I had just came off of this big indie tour I had done, and my music to that point, coming from a jam band here in the area, I knew I had to start making my way to the bigger stages, and so my music had to morph. And so I started really, you know, focusing on telling a more personal story about who I was and getting more, you know, vulnerable in my music. And also just like taking all the lessons I had learned from playing, you know, with the different people I toured with and you know, having worked with Sir Mix-a-Lot and then eventually Barrett Martin, you know, like I thought to myself, I needed to really epitomize what it meant to be the Seattle Sound, you know. So I took all those lessons and, you know, from playing the blues clubs and playing the blues shows and also having been associated with all the grunge guys and even with, you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot, I tried to take all these Seattle sounds and put it into a song if I could. And, you know, that's how Take Me Away really came to be. And I could say similarly for Mercy, I mean, that's a little bit different. But, you know, with the other single, there's a little bit different of a story in that we got in this room together and, you know, magic kind of just happened, but it was still geared around that sound. But Take Me Away especially was that a very, you know, thought out sound. It was like, you know, we're going to try to play as heavy and as hard as possible while still paying homage to the blues and soul that kind of got me started, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about Mercy, which was co-written with Marty Fredrickson and Scott Stevens. That is, you know, all about addressing, you know, the chaos of everything going on in 2020. And as a new artist, you know, where did you feel that your voice should be placed with all of this chaos going on after, you know, COVID happens, then we have all the riots and stuff like that? Where did you feel or how did you feel you should address this situation?
You know, I felt like we just needed a marker in time for all of us, you know, like this is going to be a time period where none of us ever forget when this is all over, you know, I mean, granted we had these issues before, but it was concentrated with the fact that everything has been shut down in this pandemic. And when it opens back up, we're going to need to be able to tell that story. And I thought that was best told in that room with those guys, you know. And initially, like, we weren't even, you know, we got in that room, and initially, you know, Mercy was a demo. We didn't know if it was going to make the record or not at that point. But we caught fire in that room, you know, in this little small studio called Love Shack down in Nashville. And we just knew we had to turn it into a song right away. So we took the session from the demo and just essentially just tracked it through live amps. And then it became what it is. And that vocal you hear there is from the demo vocal, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it was important for us, you know, everybody in that room, I'm speaking for everybody in that room, but it was important for us to really talk about what had happened without taking a side, you know. I think that was probably the most important part of it, was just not to say that this is coming from my perspective as a black man or your perspective is whatever you believe in, but as my perspective as just a person living in this country during this time period, you know, I think that was really important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, we're never going to forget what happened in 2020. And right. I think a lot of that, you know, for somebody like yourself that's sitting at home and you're a musician, you're an artist, it gives you, especially with all the extra time, because there's nothing really going on, it gives you that creative energy to not only come up with something about what's happening in the world, but maybe, you know, other stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, it's a pretty interesting time period. I mean, if you're an artist who's really been working and you know, been pushing, I think, I know a lot of cats that even though, you know, live shows have been kind of tapered down and basically non-existent for the last year or so, I know a lot of artists that have actually thrived in this time period because this is a time period of creativity, you know, so you're absolutely right about that.
So major record label done, got your two singles out. When will the full-length album be coming out?
We're slated for this summer. Not quite ready to announce a date just yet, but, you know, I think we're getting closer to that. But we're slated for this summer.
And have you heard anything regarding possible tour dates, even if it's just in the Seattle or North Pacific Northwest area?
You know, nothing yet. There's nothing solid yet. I know there's a little chatter about maybe midsummer, you know, June, July, August, getting things back going again. I know Live Nation, the CEO at Live Nation, just announced that they could be possibly see touring back as soon as July for the big amphitheaters and things like that. So, but as of right now, it's hard to say. Man, I think people are kind of, there's still a question mark in the air as to how that's all going to play out. I don't think anybody is quite sure just yet, but it's, you know, I will say if for sure you'd probably see it for sure by this fall, but at least, you know, maybe by this midsummer you'll start to see some stuff come back. As far as touring though, that's gonna be hard to say. I think maybe you'll start to see smaller shows at first. You might say see some pop up shows at bigger venues, but I don't know if you're gonna see full on tours until the end of this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. And before I let you go, you know, you have that inspirational story. If you're a musician, you know, you were saying that you started out about 2010, 2011. You released a couple of your stuff independently, 2013, 14, around that time. So, you know, there are a lot of people that are out there right now, musicians that maybe have had a similar story than you, that have been doing their thing for a long time. And, you know, you said you were thinking of even packing it in and doing something else just only 2-3 years ago. So what would be your advice for these musicians that are out there that, you know, it's COVID time now and they can't really go out and get a gig? So what would be your best advice for them continuing on?
Just keep pushing. You know, that's all I can say, man. Keep pushing and have faith in yourself and have faith in your abilities. You know, like the thing that kept me going was that the worst thing that I thought could happen to me really wasn't that bad, you know. And so, you know, I had to get over my fears. I had to keep my head down and keep pushing it and finding ways to keep getting myself to the next month, the next day, or whatever was necessary for me to keep doing what I love to do, you know. And just keep yourself in that place of love, man. If you love what you do, you know, if you really have a passion and a desire for what you do, the universe is going to provide for you, man. So keep yourself in that space. Try to live your life fearlessly, and you know, and just keep making music, keep gifting people with your abilities, and that's what's going to see you through, honestly.